Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And as I say that, friend, listen, I want him to be yours. I want you to know he can be yours. In fact, according to the Word of God tells us, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What a great message that is. What a great truth that is. And you know what he does when he comes? He comes to give us life. He comes to give us abundant life. He comes to give us actually eternal life according to the Word of God. Well, I'm glad that you've tuned in with us this day. I trust that our time together will be a blessing. I trust it will bring glory to God. And I trust, friend, listen, that you will be stirred in your spirit. You'll be inspired. After all, that's what this radio program is titled, Inspirational Truths, as we think about the eternal things of Almighty God. Well, I'm just thinking, looking out my study window, what a beautiful day it is. Now look, I don't know when you hear this, if it'll be overcast, whether it be snowing, whether it'll be cold, whatever the case may be. Listen, it's sunshiny, what I'm looking at, but you know what? Every day that I spend with the Lord is just wonderful, and how true that is. Well, I pray that our time together again will be a blessing. I've opened my Bible back up to the book of Jude. I started a message last week that I thought I would get all of it preached, but really, friend, I didn't, so I'm going to back up and rehearse a little bit of it and just give you the things that I left off. And I left off more last week than I gave you. And you know what? When I get done today, I'll have left off more than what I will give you once again. But I'm going to do my best to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at several scriptures now in the Word of God as we look at security in spite of the apostasy. Well, before I preach, Debbie's going to sing. She's chosen to do the same song she did last week, and I believe it's very fitting. The title of it is, If It Were Not For His Grace. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm thankful for the grace of God. Enjoy, I'll be back in a moment or two.
If it were not for His grace, thank Him and praise His holy name.
I love that. Thank God. Hey, can you say thank God for Calvary? I'll tell you, friend, the song says, years of spent in vanity and pride, carry not my Lord was crucified. But I'll tell you what, we come to that place by faith called Calvary, and something's going to change eternally. Thank you, Debbie, for that song. Beautiful, beautifully done, beautifully written, listen, by a beautiful lady. I'll tell you what, she's special to me. In the book of Jude, I want to read three verses. Verse 1 of this great book, and verses 24 and 5. And listen to what the Word of God says. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, he is a half-brother now of Jesus, a whole brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, number one, preserved in Christ, number two, and called. Isn't that wonderful, man? Listen, that puts you on shouting ground right there. If I don't say anything else today, if you don't get anything else at all out of this message, if you just get the truth of that verse, friend, without any exposition, without any elucidation on it, I'll tell you what, friend, that's a blessing. But he goes on in verse 24 and 5, said, now, boy, it's almost like Jude said, I couldn't wait to get to this. So wrote all of that just so that I could get to this. He said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. What a wonderful thing that is. Look, we're talking about, as I've already told you, I'm going to pick it back up what I left off from last week. We're talking about security in spite of the apostasy. As I told you, Jude, friend, listen, writes about the apostasy, the last day apostasy, that apostasy that is to precede the second coming of Christ, that one-of-a-kind apostasy, friend, that rises above and beyond all the other apostasies that have taken place prior to this. And Jude, gives us references to three different apostasies. Not only did Jude write about of the apostasy of the last day, but so did Peter in the second epistle that bears his name. So did Timothy as he wrote, or Paul to Timothy as he wrote to that young preacher in the second letter or second epistle that is addressed to him. Oh, listen, friend, when Paul was writing to the church of Thessalonica in chapter 2 of that second letter that bears that church's name, he's talking about, friend, that there will come a great falling away. And what he's talking about not just an apostasy, but the definitive one of a kind. Now listen to this. That will directly precede, friend, the coming of Christ, the day of the Lord, that will directly precede, friend, the snatching away of the church, the revelation of the son of perdition, that Antichrist. Oh, listen, friend, we're living in those days. We're living in the days of the Laodicean church age, where you've got a church that says we're rich and increased with goods. But Jesus said, wait just a minute. You don't know that you're blind and naked and need of pure gold, oh, and of garments that will clothe your day. Listen, friend, I'll tell you, I believe we're there. And Jude, in this great letter that he starts out saying that we need, without a doubt, to defend the faith. Because if we don't keep what's been given to us, if we don't receive it humbly, if we don't preserve it faithfully, and if we don't pass it on with integrity, I'll tell you, there will be no common salvation for anyone. And Jude said, listen, apostates have risen, and here's what they look like. Apostasy is a real thing. And folks, listen to this old country preacher. We're neck deep in apostasy. And you say, preacher, what is apostasy, or what does an apostate do? In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, we've got the biblical definition of what apostasy is. I'll read it to you and then put it in my own words, if I may. Paul said this. He said, now preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with long suffering, all long suffering and doctrine. And here it is, for the time will come, folks, it has come. We're here, we're in it. If Paul were preaching you on the radio today, he'd say it's come. That which I said two millennium plus ago, it has arrived. It's full fledged. It looked like the size of a man's hand in the day that I was writing about it, that Peter wrote about it, that Jude wrote about. Hey, that which Paul talked about. Hey, listen, friend, I'm telling you, it's here in the day and the hour that we live in. And Paul would go on to say, they will not endure sound doctrine, but heaping themselves teachers, having itching ears. You know what, friend, that means? That means that an apostate, now listen, is not someone, listen, that was saved. I don't believe anybody that's saved can be an apostate to where that they fall away or they lose their salvation. Listen, this message is totally against that idea, because I'm talking about security in spite of of the apostasy. But listen, an apostate is someone who knew, listen, the truth, who knew what was true and rejected what he knew to be true and accepted what he knew to be untrue. That's what an apostate is. And listen, friend. Listen, Jude was saying, and I want you to know something. I'm going to envelope this little epistle like one of the psalmists did years ago when they would start one of the psalms with a phrase and end it with the same phrase. And I'm aware that Jude doesn't end as he begins this epistle with the same phrase, but I'll tell you the same idea is there. He said in the first verse, he said, I want you to know you're sanctified. Bless God, you're secure and you're selected. You say, what do you see that, preacher? Well, it says, to them that are sanctified, to them that are preserved in Christ Jesus, to them that are called. We see it right there in verse 1 and then verse 24. He said, now unto him that is able to keep you, hey, from falling. You know what that means? Just what I told you last week. Does it mean that we won't fail? Does it mean that we won't miss the mark? Does it mean that we won't sin on occasion? But here's what it does mean. It means that, thank God, because of the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, hey, when we do as His children fall, He will not let us stay there. Oh, friend, I want you to know something. One of the greatest things in the world that anybody can know is that they are present possessors of eternal life. Now, I hear people talk like when they die, that's what eternal life sets in. But can I tell you, friend, no. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches us that when we receive Christ, we become a recipient of eternal life because that's who He is. That's what He is. In the book of John chapter 17, verse 3, the Bible said, and this, well, let me back it up and give it in verse 2, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. And you say, who is those that God has given? The Bible said, all those that God hath given to me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. That's John, what is it, 8 and 37 or 6 and 37. You read the whole book of John, you'll get it. But it goes on to say, this is life eternal, that thou might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Listen, friend, I got news for you. If you know Christ as your Savior, if you've knelt somewhere and repented of your sins under the convicting power of the Spirit of Almighty God, if you've repented and by faith, the best you know how, received Christ as your Savior, you became a recipient of eternal life. Mine says, Friday and April the 23rd, 1974. And thank God it'll never end. But listen, you say, preacher, we got security. Yeah, we do. How do you know? Well, let me just let the Word of God speak. Can I do that? Just let me let the Word of God speak. When Jesus was speaking, the man to the name of Nicodemus, who was just as religious as religion would allow him to be, he needed a new birth. He needed a new nature. He needed to be birthed from above. Now listen, friend, Jesus was telling him how the new birth would take place. He had told him as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He doesn't stop, but he goes on to say in verse 16, you know it, quoted with me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He doesn't stop there. Even on in this same chapter, He says in verse 36, listen to it, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You know what that word hath is? It's present tense. It's here and now. It means, friend, you've got what follows it. We hath eternal life. And he that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Hey, friend, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've got life eternal, because I've got the source of eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. Listen to what John goes on to say. Now, boy, I could pick up some more of these. Do you hear? I could pick a lot of them up in the book of John. And let me give you a couple of them, can I? While I'm here, verse 24 of chapter 5. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath. There that word hath is, or has. Everlasting life, listen now, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Man, I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Does it? Listen to what Jesus said over here in John chapter 10, when He was talking about the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Thank God He said in the look in verse 27 and following, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now listen to what He said. And He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Listen now, isn't that good? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than me, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know what? When I was growing up, I didn't know the truth about eternal life. I didn't know the truth about the security of the believer. But I'll tell you what, friend, listen. If we just let the Word of God speak, I'll tell you, it'll give us a peace. It'll give us assurance. It'll give us a comfort. It'll give us a strength. It'll give us a liberty to serve God Almighty. Now, how wonderful that is. Not a liberty to sin. How blessed God if you think the doctrine of the grace of God gives you liberty to sin and live any old way that you want. You're ignorant of what the Word of God teaches. It's just that simple. Listen to what Peter said. Peter's going to pipe in, and hey, he's got something good to say over here in chapter 1 of the second letter that bears his name. Well, the first letter, excuse me, that bears his name. Listen to what Peter said. And, oh, I don't know, I want to pick it up, I guess, right here in verse 3. He said, blessed be. Now watch how this is written. Watch how this is read. And I'm still not going to get this message done this week. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to His abundant mercy, have begotten us again. Listen now, have begotten us again according to His abundant mercy. Hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's our assurance. There's our authority. There's our power. There is our hope. And listen now, He said, look now, bless God, we've got hope of something special. You say, what is it? Number one, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, if you look at that verse, it ends with a period, does it not? Peter said, look, you can rest assured. You can take it to the bank. You can live on it. You can trust in it. You can rejoice in it. That God, those of us, bless God, who become partakers of the divine nature. Over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Those of you that become a partaker of the divine nature, you've got an inheritance that's reserved for you in heaven. I mean, it's there. It's sure. It's assured. Bless God. In fact, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 15, Paul there refers to our in eternal inheritance. But now look, verse 5 goes on here in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, now to an inheritance, listen to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away for you, period, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That who goes back to the word you in verse 4, that you that begins verse 5 goes back to the that who verse 5 goes back to the you verse 4, and he said, you friend who are kept by the power of God. Listen, friend, I couldn't save myself. I can't keep myself. But since I've been saved by the grace of God, I'm being kept by the grace of God for the glory of God. And how wonderful that is. I've got assurance, friend, in these days of apostasy. Ah, listen, he tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and in that one of the greatest chapters in the entire Word of God, it very well could be the greatest chapter in the New Testament. Like Genesis chapter 3, it's probably the greatest in the Old. Now, they're all good. They all have a special place and message. But listen, that chapter begins with no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it ends with a testimony of assurance of no separation. There's nothing, I say it again, there's nothing that'll separate those who in Christ from Christ, from the love of Christ. He begins in verse 1 of chapter 8. And he said, there is now. Thank God he didn't say it's going to be. He didn't say it might be. But he said, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I used to live under condemnation. I was born under condemnation. But thank God, April the 23rd, 1974, I got rid of that condemnation. I got rid of that judgment that God had placed upon my life because Adam and Eve, my forerunners, because they fell in sin and because of their failure, death passed upon all men. I was under condemnation. But thank God, I've been set free because I've been redeemed, because I've been purchased with the blood of the Lamb. Thank God, nothing can separate me from that. Listen to what the writer goes on to say. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, are you, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, I'm saved, and there ain't enough devils in hell that can do anything about it. Thank God I'm saved. I'm sealed with the Spirit. Bless God, listen, I've got the mark of ownership on me. I've got the mark of authentication upon me. Bless God, listen. God has put something within me to testify to me that I've got eternal life. According to the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 10 through 13, the writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 7, verse 25. He said that Jesus, bless God, we have not well, let me turn over and read it. Lord, I've quoted that so many times. He said, wherefore, He is able to save us unto the uttermost, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. In the book of Romans chapter 5:10, the Bible tells us that we're not only saved by His death, but we're saved by His life. And I want you to know, as long as Jesus lives, and as long as He sits on the right hand of the Father, ready and making intercession for me and you, better put our trust in Him. We are secure. We've got eternal life. And there's nothing how the devil can do. Look, if you got eternal life, according to the book of John chapter 8, 21, 22, somewhere through there, you'll continue. And let's do that for God's glory. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.